Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There is hope. Amen. There is Hope. And that's Pastor Stephen Butterfield's song that he wrote and recorded. Amen. There is Hope. And so we want you to know that you can get that song on Amazon.com. And it is a nice song that you can meditate on and bring you hope when you feel like you don't have any hope. Come on, everybody, and give God some glory, give him some praise, and give him some honor for what he has already done, because we know that the Lord, he is a healer, and he is a deliverer, and he is the one that is able to set us free and get us on the right track. Amen. So we just want to lift up the name of Jesus tonight, and we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are from the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, which is located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, 30281. You also can reach us there at 678-565-7001, or you can reach us at our business line at 770-906-0607. We thank you again for tuning in. It's such an honor to be here tonight to share with you with the Turn on the Light broadcast. It is so awesome to have each and every one of you sharing with us on tonight. I want you to know that on tomorrow, we are getting ready to go into Holy Convocation at the Light of the World, and maybe you did not get registered to come to the nightly services. You did not sign up for Holy Convocation. I want you to know that registration is closed for registering, but you can still come on to the nightly services, and they will register you at the front door. For classes, that registration is closed as well, but if you come to the church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the 9:30 class and the 10:30 classes, you can come in and to a class. But as far as going out online and registering, that registration online is closed. You will have to come in individually. So we want to thank you again. Thank God for Pastor Butterfield and all that he is doing. And we thank God for his life. And we just give God all the praise and all the honor for what God is doing here with us. We want you to know as well that on tomorrow at the 10 a.m. service, at 9 o'clock, we're having Sunday school at 9 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to come out to that service. And also we have our 10 a.m. worship service. So come on out and share with us. We'll be glad to have you. Our leaders is Dr. Ruth Smith, who is the co-founder of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church, and also Bishop Kevin Jones, which is our senior pastor at the Light of the World. And we want you to come on out and share with us the remainder of this coming week. We want you to share with us nightly and day sessions as well. We are going to have a glorious time there at the Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We thank you again, and we have an awesome woman of God that is going to break the bread of life with us today. Her husband was on last week, and I tell you, he was on fire for God on last week, and we know that she is on fire for God today because we know she's not a stranger to us, and also she is elder elect Nichelle Ford, not minister Ford. She's elder elect Nichelle Ford. On next Sunday at the 3 o'clock hour, she will be ordained as elder at the Light of the World. So we are so excited about this move of God, and it is so awesome for the men and women of God that is doing the work And then we can see that work, and God sees that work, and the leader sees that work, and we want to thank her, and we thank her husband, which is going to be becoming ordained as an elder as well on next Sunday at 3 p.m. So let's give them a hand clap. Amen. Amen. And we have some other, another elder and also some ministers that will be getting their license on next week at the 3 o'clock hour. Everyone is invited to come out to that service, but you can also stream live with us. And if you do come out to that service, just make sure you're wearing your mask because we want to stay safe. Amen. But she is an awesome woman of God, and we just want to welcome her to come forth and bring the word to us on tonight. If you'll just press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to bring forth the word. Elder-elect Nichelle Ford, if you'll press 1 on your phone, we'll bring you live on the air. God bless. God bless. And we thank God for what he is doing, for what he is doing in our life and in her life and in everyone that is signed on tonight. We want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight, because I know that there is a word in store. So, Nichelle Ford, you are on.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, all right. Glory to God. I'm just so happy to be with you this evening, with you and Pastor Butterfield. It is always an honor, and we are always in awe whenever we have the opportunity to bring the word forth on this radio show. And we thank God for you and all that the two of you do and the work that you do in the kingdom. And we thank God for you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And so with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. I have a robust word today, and it's lengthy and it's jam-packed. It's been sitting on my heart, and so I'm ready to share what the Lord has placed on my heart with everyone out in Radio Land. And so I'm going to get started. And I'm going to ask those of you that have your Bible out there in Radio Land to just join and repeat after me, please. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. And truth can never be a lie. So whatever God says, it must come to pass. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, this evening, I'm going to be coming from the book of Genesis in chapter 39, and I will be reading verses 7 through 21. Again, Genesis 39, verses 7 through 21. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, that she called the men to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me." So it happened, and as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did this to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Brothers and sisters, just pray with me. O Lord our God, in all awesome and all wonder, thank you for bringing us together just one more time in order that we may hear a word from you, one that is for your people, that will bring new understanding and new enlightenment in order to help them as they journey in your will and in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this evening, I would like to speak to each of you on the topic, "It's not about you." Again, it's not about you. We are all very familiar with the story of Joseph and what happens to him in the background, about his coat of many colors and how he had the gift of dreaming. Eventually, the time came that his brothers, who were jealous of him because of his relationship with their father, threw him in a pit for dead, and then eventually sold him into slavery. But Joseph enjoyed the favor of God, and he prospered him while he was in service in the house of Potiphar, the chief of Pharaoh's bodyguard. It was there that he met Potiphar's wife. So I want everyone to make sure you get a pen and a paper and keep track, because tonight I'm bringing you 9 points this evening. Potiphar's wife played a small but vital role in Joseph's life. After he had been sold into slavery and had been promoted to overseer of his master's, Potiphar's, estate, since Joseph ran the household, his wife was in constant contact with him. Potiphar's wife decided to try and seduce Joseph. But when Joseph refused her advances, she accused him of trying to rape her, and Joseph ended up being imprisoned. So, brothers and sisters, I see this story in three parts: the background, the situation, and the outcome. So I'm going to start with what I see as part one, which is the background, and that is about Potiphar and his wife. Potiphar's wife, a woman with no name, seems to have been a lonely, bored woman who was thrown in the company of an unusually handsome and attractive man, let's say the Idris Elba, or the Morris Chestnut, or Denzel Washington, whichever your pick, of the ancient world of Egypt. She was spoiled, rich, and beautiful, used to having her way and getting what she wanted whenever she wanted. But in this instance, Potiphar's wife realized that what she'd actually wanted out of life, she did not necessarily get exactly that, where she begins to learn that it's not about her. In this story, it seems that Potiphar's wife has decided that what was good for the goose was also good for the gander. And so this male slave should be available to her if she wished, just as the female slaves were available to her husband. So neglected as she was by her husband, she lost her head, and which brings me to the first 3 points I would like to share. She believed that she received no appreciation, that she received no attention, that she received no acceptance from her husband. And brothers and sisters, aren't we just like her? We go through life spoiled, wanting things in our life to be our own way, to go our way, and done our way. We want to be served from a silver platter with a special gold spoon and given a special napkin. Well, just as she realized, I'm here to tell you today, it's not about you. Potiphar's wife wanted attention. She wanted his attention because Potiphar's status as one of Pharaoh's officials meant that he was such a person of importance that he was always busy. The phrase that he was the captain of the guard could indicate that he held several different jobs and that he was away often. And as a result, she lacked attention. She felt neglected. Potiphar's wife also wanted appreciation. She wanted her husband to show her some type of recognition, something that showed that she mattered to him, wanted him to be considerate of her in her position as his wife. Number three, Potiphar's wife wanted acceptance. She was his wife and wanted him to reverence her, to respect her. She wanted to be held in high regard and high status as his wife because she ran his household. She was looking to receive validation of who she was. She wanted to be the center of attraction to her husband, to make it all about her. And because it wasn't about her, she looked elsewhere, to others. Potiphar had other things of importance to manage in his life. He worked for Pharaoh and was probably on call 24 hours a day. His time and energy kept a roof over her head and food in her mouth and clothes on her back. But she wanted him to make her his top priority, for it to be, again, all about her. Saints of God, we do the same. We look for attention, appreciation, and acceptance from everyone who is close to us, and even those that may not be. We want attention, appreciation, and acceptance from all those around us. We want to be treated like we are all that and a bag of chips, to be the end-all that be-all. But brothers and sisters, again, it's not all about you. In this time and season, as children of God, we should be willing to understand that we need to give attention, give appreciation, and give acceptance. We need to give attention to those who are around us that may be hurting right now, in the situation that we are in with COVID-19. They are the same people that may be in need of encouragement. They need to be given attention. We also need to give appreciation. We need to be appreciative of the many blessings, the big and the small, that we have. God deserves our appreciation. And this is the time and season that he has removed those things that may be a distraction in order that we can focus on giving appreciation to him. We need to also give acceptance. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of change. And in this changing time, we need to be accepting of new things, the new ideas, the new routines, the new things that are around us that are different from before. We need to be accepting of the other people who are now being brought into our own world that may be different from the way that we have done things before. Remember, giving acceptance to people who are different from us allows us to be just as Jesus, who is our model of how we should be doing that. As Christ Church, kingdom, citizens of the kingdom of God, that is who we are expected to be. Now, part two, the situation. Let's take a closer look at what happened between Potiphar's wife and Joseph. She was a godless wife. She was devious. She was calculating. And she had set her eyes on Joseph. Joseph was a young man, but his divine grace kept him from accepting her advances because of her lack of scruples. She continued to make some kind of sexual approach to Joseph. But we see early on in the text, in verse 7, which says, "And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" She was being straightforward in her attempt to use her sexual and social power to dominate him, and that was definitely a bad thing. It put Joseph in a very difficult situation. He either had to offend the wife of his master or betray his master. He determined in that moment, in those several moments, that offending her would be the less dangerous of the two. And so he refused her. Now, Potiphar's wife always, again, continued to think that it was all about her. And she was in the grip of uncontrollable infatuation. She again begged numerous times for Joseph to respond to her with her straightforward statement, "Lie with me." And so he began to avoid her at all possible in order that his contact with her was very little. And he did that as much as he was able. So another day, when they were alone in that house, she tried again to make sexual advances toward him. And this time we see in verse 12, she actually made some physical contact, again, trying to make him be all about her. Verse 12 says, "She caught him by his garment, but he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." In her escalating fury, she began to lash out at Joseph. She then called out to the members of the household, saying that she had been attacked by Joseph. Suddenly, that strong attraction that she had felt for Joseph was now transformed into a hysterical rage. She had been humiliated by a slave, and she knew it. She knew that she had no one to blame but herself for this situation. And she couldn't understand why he wasn't taken with her. After all, it's all about her. Joseph's reaction to her spoke volumes in that it showed her she had no control over him. His no expressed that there was something else that he is committed to, giving her the distinct message that in his world, it's not all about you. So let's stop right there, and let's talk about the three things in this second part of the story. The three things that happened that are significant was that Potiphar's wife was beguiled by Joseph, fascinated by him. She was bold in her approach, and she was ballistic when he refused her. Now, since again, remember, it's all about her, she's now furious. So, point four, she was beguiled with Joseph. She was so captivated by him. And verse 6, before our text, speaks about Joseph being handsome in form and appearance. And so for her, he was that new and shiny thing. He was unique and he was different. And it created a wonder and a want in her spirit. She was bold in her approach to him. Now, we've heard that over and over in the text, once in the early verse of 7 and again in verse 12. She continually approached Joseph and told him to lie with her. She verbally accosted him, and then she eventually grabbed him. She was ballistic when he refused her. She became so enraged when he told her no, she thought to herself, the nerve of him. She began thinking, I'm sure I know I'm all that. I got it going on. I'm the woman of the manor. And he's telling me no. I'm the bomb.com. It's all about me. Brothers and sisters, we are again just like her. It's not about you. Just as Potiphar's wife with points 4, 5, and 6, we all get fascinated. We all get outraged over things and people. We all get bold in situations that arise, which make us believe that it's supposed to be all about us. But it's not about you. And again, in this reflective season that we are in, we actually need to be beguiled and fascinated with the wonder of who God is and in all the awesomeness and amazingness of his majesty, because he is truly in the process of doing a wonderful and amazing work in this time. And that should hold our fascination. Also need to be bold, point 5. We need to be bold in our sharing of the gospel. We need to remember that sharing the word is power. We need to be bold in our own study, but bold in expressing the word to others, letting the world know that the word is what we need right now. Point 6. We need to be ballistic. We need to go crazy. Crazy about what? Crazy about telling the world about Jesus, telling the world about who he is and what he has done for us all. Because, brothers and sisters, that's who it's about. It's not all about you. Which takes me now to the last part of our story. The outcome is, after those two incidents, Potiphar's wife calls the men of the house to tell them that she was attacked, and now she has to tell her husband what has happened to her. In verse 16, she tells him, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me and mocked me." Now, I find that very interesting, brothers and sisters, because she doesn't say that Joseph tried to sleep with her, only that he tried to mock her. And after leaving his clothing, he ran. She purposely left out details, which shows that she was very deceitful. She had time between the time when she called in the servants to tell them what was happening to her. There was time for her to begin to think about what she was going to say to her husband when he got home. And so now, standing before her husband, and because, again, it's all about her, she is now standing in the moment where she now faces a dilemma of what she is about to tell her husband. Because remember, everyone else knows what she had just said and accused Joseph of. So this is where we are with my last 3 points. And these 3 points are about Potiphar's wife's thoughts. What should she do? Is she going to resist the urge to lie, recognize the mess that she's made, or respond with the truth? Remember, she is still thinking, this is all about me, so how is this going to come out where I come out ahead and clean from all of this story? So number seven, she needed to resist the lie. She just couldn't resist the urge that was speaking in her head to speak against Joseph, to lie to her husband about this trusted servant of her husband. She knew that what she could tell him could ultimately put Joseph to death. But she felt that there was need for him to be punished in some way. And so when she faced that moment of standing before her husband, the choice that she made with that dilemma was the clear decision to lie. Point number eight, recognize the mess. She needed to recognize that her decision to discredit Joseph would bring a number of consequences. Consequences for Joseph, who was her husband's valuable servant, and one that made his life much easier. But it also brought consequences that Joseph would not be around to make her life much more comfortable as well. His consequences, again, could result in his death, but ultimately, it was a mess that she would be a part of. Now, there would be no one to oversee the household, and she has now turned everything upside down. It's now a mess. The mess that she's created. The ninth point, respond. She should have responded with the truth. I know, again, it's about her. It's all about her. And because she's deceptive, she wouldn't believe, she wouldn't think that it would be important for her to respond with the truth because it's all about her. She shouldn't be getting in trouble. She should have been truthful and just admitted what she had done. Actually, Potiphar probably didn't even believe his wife because this was more than likely not the first time that she had lied to him. Again, it was all about her. How could she come out of this situation and be unscathed, unmarked, and validated? That, brothers and sisters, is our nature too. When we are faced with our own dilemmas, we too come to the crossroads of having to make the decision to live as we should as people of God and be ready to resist, recognize, and respond appropriately every day. We need, as people of God, to remember we also need to resist the urge. Point seven. Just like Potiphar's wife made up a story right on the spot, brothers and sisters, we do that too. because our relationship, because of our relationship to Adam, we all have that sinful nature. It is in our DNA. So we share that particular characteristic. Most of us will lie about the smallest of things, the little white lies, we call them, right? And most of us try to admit that to ourselves, well, they really don't matter. As women, we lie about our cooking. You know that patty pie that you buy at Walmart that you take out of the box and you say it's yours, that you made it. And yes, some of us, we lie about our age. We all want to appear and be younger than we are. And yes, some women, we lie about our hair. Girl, you know, that hair came out of the package. And wait a minute, guys. You too, you know you are included in this too. But what I want to mention about you is let's just talk about the big fish that you caught. How big was that fish again? Or what about how big was that fish, the one that got away? I pray our strength in the Lord that we can resist the urge to lie. Even the smallest of a lie is still a lie, and it's wrong. We need to also, brothers and sisters, point eight, recognize the mess that we're in, because it's the mess that we made. When you realize that your situation that you're in is messed up, there's confusion, there's no understanding of how to get out, there's no pathway forward, you need to recognize that it was you that made that decision. How do we know that? Because you made a decision to go left, go right, go up, go down, and all of that is away from the will of God for your life. You know when you're driving in the car and you hear that GPS telling you to turn right, but you're convinced that the best way to go and get to your destination is to turn left. You're ignoring the voice of the GPS that is telling you to go in the direction for the will of God for your life. The same thing. We hear that same voice telling us where we need to go, but we are our own worst enemy. We end up in confusion. We end up lost, not knowing where we are and where we need to go. But God is not a God of confusion, and you know it. Your inner spirit man will always speak to you with regards to what you need to do. Maybe it might be some option or choice that is something that you totally unexpected. And because it's unexpected, you talk yourself out of doing what you need to do. And we talk ourselves into doing something else. We are making it in that moment about us. We want to do things our way. And when we do that, we will always, always, saints of God, make a mess. Recognize the mess of your own doing and course correct and listen to what the Holy Spirit would have you to do. It's not all about you. Point nine again, respond with the truth, for the truth will set you free. We are faced with a real struggle in this time. How do we respond to this situation that we are in? And we need to respond in truth. And that truth is in the Word. But we also can respond with the truth of the name of Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the light. I have a favorite song, and I would like to just sing a little bit of it because it spoke to me as I talked to you this evening about this topic. And it goes just like this. Say the name of Jesus.
Jesus, say the name of Jesus, say the name so precious. No other name I know that can calm your fears and dry your tears and wipe away your pain. When you don't know what else to pray and you can't find the words to say, just say the name. Just say the name. Hallelujah. Just say the name, brothers and sisters, because that's who it's all about. It's all about our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Respond with the truth of who he is to us all and for us all. So in closing, my brothers and sisters, let this story of Potiphar's wife remind you, just as Joseph knew that his no meant something greater to him, it's about something else. It represented his commitment to his Almighty God. It was all about his Heavenly Father. And it's the same for you and me. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our relationship with God the Father. So if you don't remember any of these other 9 points that I mentioned, remember these last three. Resist, beloved. Recognize, my brothers and sisters. Respond, saints of God, because it's not all about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And amen. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Woo, awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh,
it's
my
not
God.
About you. Oh, my
about
goodness.
You,
you know, if you ever tell somebody that, they feel insulted. Because we all think it's about us.
Yes, yes.
But all we are here to fulfill
Lord.
The mandate that God has assigned us to.
Mm.
It's not about you. And you know, it's a unique look at the life of Potiphar's wife because she had a part to play in Joseph's destiny, but
yes.
It wasn't about her.
That's
it
right.
was about Joseph. And so,
that's
so
right.
it's a very good and great look to see how she thought it was about her, but she was just a part, a person playing a part to fulfill the destiny of Joseph. Because if she didn't do what she did, he would never got to prison where he was supposed to interpret the dream and all that kind of stuff. So she got him to where he needs to be. And so in all our lives, things happen where people come in our lives for a particular purpose. And you know, sometimes we hold grudges against those people. But if we realize and look back, I heard Bishop Kevin always say, you ought to go back to them and say, thank you for leaving me. Thank you for walking away from me. Thank you for not being my friend. Thank you because of what you did, God put me to where I was supposed to be. And so that was an awesome view. And another thing I looked at those of you who want to comment on this word tonight, I know you received something on it. Press one on your phone. Press one on your phone, and we'll bring you live. And the other thing was when Potiphar's wife failed, she began to blame Potiphar for bringing somebody into the house.
Right.
And God trying to bless us, but we're trying to blame him for what he's doing in our lives. So we see we have two in queue. Your area code is 516, and the last four digits is 3220. You're now live on the air, caller.
Yes, good evening, and blessings to Minister Nichelle. This truly, truly just spoke to my heart and where we are now in this pandemic. Certainly familiar with the story of Potiphar's wife, but the point that she made, I truly feel that God is trying to give us a wake-up call right now and to say, give attention to where we are right now. Put down technology, just forget all that, and give attention to God. Appreciate the blessings that we have, accept new things, and come out boldly and speak for Jesus. Be crazy about it, just like you were saying, Michelle, and to resist some things and recognize this mess that we're in so that we can respond to God, because he is not a God of confusion. But unless we recognize where we are and it's not about us, but about him, you spoke to my heart tonight. So I just got to say thank you, because, you know, when the word comes, everyone sees in a different way, and this just, you brought a message. You brought a message. You brought a message. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen. We have two others in queue right now. We have your area code is 214, and your last four digits is 8539. You're now live on the air, caller.
Michelle, you're awesome. I'm ballistic. It's never been all about me. It's all about the love of God. Your sermon, all 9 points, was so informative. Thank you for enlightening us about living as we should, making godly decisions. The truth will set us free. Thank you again for your inspiration. I love you and Sandy daily. Aunt Gloria, dear heart. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So much. Oh,
Thank you.
Amen. We see you have a 404, your area code, and the last four digits is 3588. You're now live on the air. 3588.
Yes. Hello. I just want to say first, congratulations on being getting ready to be ordained elder. I'm so excited for you. And also, I really, truly enjoyed the word. The point was on point. And also, it's not about you. It's not about us. And so at this moment, God had me at a place where I'm realizing it's not about me. He got me at a place where I've been reaching out to members and people that even left the light, and reaching out to them and praying for them and just checking on them at this time. So he got us in a place where we can truly hear, because I'm able to hear clearly when he said, check on sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and I'm able to do it. So he got us at a place where we're able to also hear him clearly, and then to not focus on us, because you can't focus on what you're dealing with if you checking on somebody else or praying for somebody else or interceding for somebody else. So thank you so much for the word, and it's truly encouraging on tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Thank
Praise
you so much.
Lord.
I mean, we are so excited for what God is doing with our minister staff. Amen. That's one of our also elect minister, Yamika Taylor. Amen. And we have Asher Cannon, and we have Lorenzo Lewis. We have, I mean, God is just building this army to get us ready to move. And, you know, people might say, why are you getting all these people ready and the pandemic is here? We can't do this. We can't do that. But this is the time to reinforce and get people geared up, ready to go out and fight. Amen. And Bishop Kevin has been giving us, amen, the armor of God. Mm-hmm. Put on the whole armor. So we should be ready. And God is getting our people to ready. So we're just excited for what God is doing at Light of the World. I'm telling you, God is moving. And Elder Michelle, Elect Michelle, has given us this great word tonight. Mm-hmm. And we want her to have a final say, what you want to leave with the people tonight. And those last 3 points are dynamite.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Dynamite. So leave something with the people tonight to encapsulate what you have taught us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. I just want to leave with the people again that as Deaconess Yamika was mentioning, and as I tried to bring this evening, whenever we are in a time and season, we always have to remember that it's not about us. There is something that we are supposed to gain and grow from in order that we can move forward and do the work of the kingdom. It is about what we can do for others and that they can see the love of Christ in us to them. And so mm-hmm. it is important for us not to get caught up in this time where things are may not be as available to us and people may not be as available to us. You know, God did this purposely to remove those things that we just took for granted were right there next to us and with us because we need to refocus and understand what the work really is. The work mm-hmm. is about us to get us refocused and remember who it's about. And it's not about us. It's about him. It's all.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Not about us. It's for us, but it's not about us. And
that's
so
right.
This pandemic is for us to get us to closer to God, and it's for us so it can move us forward. But it's not about us. It's about giving God the glory. Get to a place where we recognize that if God don't do it, it won't get done. It's all about God and His grace. And what he's going to do for us, even in these times, because when we feel like we got it all, put it all together, we stop praying, we stop depending on God, we stop believing in God, we think we got it ourselves. But if we realize it's not about us, this pandemic letting us know that it's not about us. It's the grace of God that's keeping us. It's
that's
the mercy
right.
That's and so we can't think it's about us anymore during this time because we know.
That's right.
And if you didn't have money in certain things, you go to the store, you can't even buy.
And if I could make one more point, and there are those of us that love to talk to all the people around us. They love to make contact and talk to everybody. And now, you can't really talk to folks now.
No.
The only person you need to talk to is our Heavenly Father. You need to be in conversation with Him.
That's right.
That's where your conversation is.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
So we thank and praise God for this word tonight. I'm telling you, those last 3 points really got
mm-hmm.
me really thinking.
Respond
that
with the truth.
Truth will make you free.
Yeah, truth.
And we know that this word has been a blessing to those of you out there. And meditate on this word and just pull out what God wants to show you. And he wants to move you to the next place. He wants to move you higher in him and deeper in him so you can experience the real presence of God and what he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight we give God praise, we give him honor, we give him glory, and we're mm-hmm. excited about holy convocation.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord.
We're going to have limited people in the house because we're going to be social distancing, but we're going to have it on YouTube. We're going to have it on WebEx. We're going to be virtually
live streaming.
Anyway, you're going to get holy convocation. If you're in Africa, you're going to get holy convocation. We see we got somebody else in queue. Your area code is 404. And your last four digits is 7749. You are now live on the air. Call.
Hi, everyone. This is Sabrina from Light of the World. How are everybody doing tonight? I just want to say congratulations to Elder-elect Michelle Ford, and also your husband. I am just so thankful. I enjoyed the word. I enjoyed the message. I enjoyed everything about it. I'm glad I was. I actually had forgot about it, but somebody thought about me and invited me in. So I just thank God for that person and inviting me. But I just want to say thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it tonight. And to God be the glory, because, you know, God is just so real, and he's just so thank you, Elder Ford.
Amen.
And also
amen.
For the Butterfields, thank you, too, as well.
You're welcome. Amen. We thank God for you and what God is doing in your life. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for who he is. And he is. We serve such an awesome God. Amen. So we should be glad, you know, that no matter what you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
God, Jesus is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like the song that I wrote said, there is hope because Jesus is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He has everything in his hand. So Every Saturday at 8 p.m., you want a great word, mm-hmm. you want to be encouraged and inspired, mm-hmm. tell them to dial
917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.